Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia. North Huntington and Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. It's the Paul Zeiss Show, obviously. The Paul Zeiss Show brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of The Fan. Archie's, home of 60-cent wings Monday through Thursday. And it's also the home of the Paul Zeiss grilled cheese sandwich. So get down to Archie's. We've been talking about college football a lot, obviously. And I think that college football is the sport that everybody, I think, is most worried about. And one of the things that's always really difficult is when you start talking about safety measures. How do you keep 110 people safe? And so, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of really smart people trying to figure it out, and I don't know that anyone necessarily has. Go to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline and talk to our good friend John McGonigal, who covers college football for a living for the Post-Gazette. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I can't complain. Now, you know, I'm sure you read Pete Thamel's piece the other day. I'm sure you've been able to, you know, read lots of quotes and different things, you know, from different people across the country. For the first time, probably, I would say, in at least, you know, a few months, I'm starting to become convinced that we will not see college football in 2020.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where I've kind of been for the last, I don't know, 10, 14 days. It's weird because it feels like everything is changing by the day. I mean, I feel like a few weeks back to a month ago, the plan started to formulate for, okay, here's a date for a training camp. You know, students are going back on campus, and you know, schools were, you know, didn't have any positive tests and stuff. But there's optimism, and it quickly crashed. I mean, you need to look only to Pittsburgh to see kind of how you know, the cases have risen and stuff like that. So it's not great. I'm fully expecting a spring season at this point, if there will be a season at all, because you know, God forbid there's another spike in the spring, and then who knows what happens. But at this point, look, I'm expecting a spring season, and everything that's being done right now, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 taking away the non-conference slate, the ACC considering doing the same, and I think it's just a measure to buy more time, because by eliminating those first three, four games of the season, basically just a month out, and say, hey, it takes a little bit more time to reassess. And there are obviously advantages to pulling a conference-only slate, but I feel like right now we're just delaying the inevitable.
There's no question. You know, it's interesting enough, the spring season to me I just don't know how you're gonna make that work either. Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's obvious logistical issues with it. The biggest, or at least one of the biggest, I should say, is the NFL draft. Because I don't know if you saw Dan Walken from USA Today. I guess this was a few weeks ago now. Hard to lose track of days here, Paul. I think it was a few weeks ago that he tweeted out saying that, like, NCAA officials had reached out to the NFL to see if they would push the draft back, and it doesn't seem like they're very interested in doing that. So you're going to get a lot of guys set out, and it won't just be the Justin Fields of the world, like a Jalen Twyman. I mean, he's a possible first, second-round pick. You know, aside from the prize aspect of it, of playing, but I mean, logistically, why would you play a college season in the spring if the draft is still going on as scheduled? You risk getting hurt, you miss some workouts. Even guys like Micah Parsons at Penn State, I mean, he wouldn't play. You would have to think. So I think that's a big part of it. And then too, just the starting up of the following season, you would have to push that back if you had a spring season, because you can't expect these players to play into May and June and then turn it around and go ahead and play another season, starting the fall of 2021, assuming that health and safety wise we're there as a society and as a country. So those are two big issues. And then obviously running, men's and women's basketball and football, concurrently, just creates logistical nightmares for athletic departments across the country.
Well, and I think the other thing is, John, Urban Meyer, I think, was the one that said it the best, that you're going to ask them to play 25 games, essentially 26 games in 10 months. Basically, if you're going to play in the spring,
that's what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, the fact that if you have a spring season right now, a 2021 spring season, you would have to delay a 2021 fall season. You would have to push that start back to give the players ample amount of time. I mean, think about it. Like, for most teams in college football and FBS football, their seasons end the latest, January 1st. And I know that they're normally on campus, in the summer, after spring workouts are normally, on campus in the summer to do workouts, and then things really get going in late July and August. But so it's not like they're always taking time off, but their body needs the rest, especially these guys aren't getting paychecks. It's not like they're obviously MLS players and NBA players, like, they're returning now for a paycheck, whereas these kids aren't. So it's it would be really tough to ask them to play 20 plus games in 10 months. That's just not feasible.
No, it's not. We're talking with John McGonigal of the Post Gazette. John, are you prepared to write a bunch of articles basically trying to help talk Pitt fans off the ledge, knowing that they were supposedly going to have one of their best teams in a long, long time, and the season ends up getting canceled?
I know, right? Like, of all the years for this to happen to Pitt, I mean, the stars, could have possibly aligned in 2020. Paul, we've talked so much about that defense, and you get a senior quarterback and Kenny Pickett, all those things. It was kind of leading to this year, right? And if they don't have the opportunity to, they're already not going to have a full slate. Like, at the very least, even if things turn good here, and they're going to announce a conference-only slate. Like, it's only a matter of time. So at the very least, like, the season's already going to be shortened, and they're already going to be weird, And say it gets pushed into the spring and you possibly lose some guys, it would be disappointing. And obviously it would affect every program across the country. But obviously, Pitt fans have, ever since really the end of the 2019 season, right, when I found when Jalen Twyman said after the bowl game that he was coming back, the Paris Ford that he was coming back, that DeMar Hamlin said that he found out that he had an extra year, Patrick Jones decided to come back. Like, all of these ducks got in a row, and it looked like this defense was going to be able to carry them to something really great in 2020. And if they don't have the chance to do that, it'd be a real shame.
No, absolutely. And I think that, you brought up some players, to your point about spring football. I mean, what do you do if you're Paris Ford? Do you play in the spring and hope that you can really improve your stock? Or, do you just work out knowing full well that you've got enough film? I don't know what you do if you're a guy like him.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, Paris is a guy who, you know, yet last year was his first year as a safety, his first year as a starting player. Same with even Jalen Twyman. I mean, last year was his first year as a starter. Patrick Jones has a little bit more tape. We haven't mentioned even Rashad Weaver. Obviously, he was NFL quality in 2018 and then sustained that ACL injury ahead of the 2019 season. So he would have been an NFL draft prospect as well. Don't want to leave out him. So it's tough. It's tough because there are a handful of guys that, you know, Paris could probably improve his stock. I mean, all those guys could improve their stock, but it's just a matter of where they are, you know, kind of projection wise, right? Like Twyman, how much more can he really improve? Cause he was already looking at a probably second round, third round grade after the 2019 season. I know Patrick Jones was looking at a second to fourth round grade. How much more can he really improve? I mean, yeah, they can maybe get into the back end of the first round or early second round, but is that enough? You know, is it worth the risk? That's a question only they can answer. But it'll be tough because I don't. It would be tough to fathom all those guys coming back if it's a spring season.
Well, that's the big thing is if it's a spring season. I think the other thing, the other big question, John, and I would assume precedent says yes, but all of these guys, would they be granted an extra year of eligibility and given the opportunity to come back? And then would Pitt then have to make a decision whether or not they're going to, you know, honor scholarships for an extra year? People think that's an easy decision, and it's not because of, you know, all of the headaches that have come, you know, that come through with headcount and numbers and recruiting. And you know what? You can only have so many players on your roster.
Well, yeah, look, if there's no season at all in, you know, in this fall or the 2021 spring, then, I mean, you would think that all these guys would get an extension on their scholarships, like across all sports, really. If there's no football in the fall or spring, there's not going to be any sports, period. So, if you know, you would have to assume that all these guys will get all these, you know, men and women athletes will get their get their scholarships pushed. But like you said, I mean, that's a financial decision. It's a tough financial decision. Pitt already told me that obviously if any athlete across any sport doesn't feel comfortable playing at any point in the 2021 or 2020-2021 academic year due to COVID concerns, then they'll have their scholarships honored. So you would think that it would be an across the board, not just Pitt, but ACC and throughout college sports, that, you know, they'll have these scholarships extended. But I don't know. But it's also tough because, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic and there are some real monetary concerns throughout the country, throughout college sports. So it'd be a tough decision.
There's no question. Last one I have for you, John. If there's no football, I mean, we obviously know what it does to schools like Penn State and Alabama and the schools that have, you know, a big 110,000, 100,000 type, you know, every week that's every seat is full. But for a team like Pitt, that's going to be a pretty big financial hit, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just the gate revenue either. You know, the attendance revenue. It's the TV money. That, you know, you only have to look over to the Premier League. So they came back over in England pretty much because of the TV money. Like, they don't have fans in the stands, but they knew that they needed that money to sustain themselves and to not go off without a hitch, really, relatively speaking. So they need that TV money. Now the TV money is greater in the Big Ten than anywhere else. And then obviously the ACC network is a thing now, and you know, they're getting more money than, say, the MAC is from ESPN. But yeah, programs need the TV money. They need the revenue for attendance. And look, at the start of this, Heather Like said that she doesn't expect having to cut any sports or anything like that. But also at the start of this, Heather Like was saying that, hey, she couldn't see football being played without fans in the stands. So that was March. This is now, and it'll be interesting to see if all the programs will be intact, not just at Pitt, but at every program across the country.
John, thank you so much. Great stuff, buddy, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right, John McGonigal, the Post-Gazette. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.